Hello, naughty boys and girls. It is I, Disaster. Are you caught in the winter doldrums? Is your couch sucking you in like quicksand? Are you caught in a waking dream, endlessly wandering around and can't find a place to pee? Me too. Don't worry though, I'm gonna help you escape the weight of the world that's on those sexy shoulders. I'ma throw those burdens into the dustbin where they belong. Welcome to the Tasty Earbits Podcast. Here, it's all about the art, the drag, the trash, and the comedy. For this ecstatic episode, we got so much good stuff, you're not even gonna believe it. We got the fun convo with the drag scene's favorite cryptid, Yovska. We got Lorelai to talk about her exciting casting on Drag Race Antarctica. Then our fashion correspondent Monica will be letting us know the COVID fashion trends for 2021. Trash poetry from artsy LA performer Dusk. Plus, Tito Soto gonna talk about being cast for Alaska's Drag Queen of the Year pageant. Wow! Also, we got Luca Me, who's gonna get all ASMR on your ass. We even have a song about a toilet from Nana the Cat Lady. Too much good stuff, huh? Let's go! To start it off and to get you in the mood to move those muscles, to shake that booty, to pop that body yaddy yaddy, is Hyperbody. She gonna give you a corgasm. Let's pump it, 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 pump it. Get a hyper body and to book a ticket for an on-demand or live stream class, go to hyperbodyfitness.com. The winter doldrums. It's so cold outside. Lorelai, congratulations. All your hard work finally paid off, eh?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again, Disasterini. I can't believe I'm back.
I couldn't wait for you to come back. The first appearance you had on our podcast was so informative. It was really invigorating. And by the way, did you get any dates from your the little contest we had going on?
Okay, well, I thought I told you, or I thought my legal team was very clear with you that that's a very touchy subject.
Oh.
But, Yeah, all I can say is that after the last episode with me, one of your listeners recognized my work and reported me to the IRS because apparently saving your money in multiple accounts is too much of a good thing. So let's just say that I really hope that I am Antarctica's next drag superstar, because that $100,000 prize will go straight to the government because I owe them a lot of money.
Oh no, I mean the whole virtual dating empire you were creating is in shambles?
I hate to say it, Disasterini. I really hate to see it go. But hey, things come, things go, you go with the flow. And you know, I think it was the perfect time because then it gave me lots of opportunity for me to focus on my audition tape, which obviously paid off.
Clearly, I mean, you got onto the show. And just so everybody out there knows what we're talking about, let me just ask you, what's it feel like to be on the world's most franchised TV show and to join the exclusive list of over 18,000 queens who have appeared, three of them being trans, on RuPaul's Drag Race? This issue is Antarctica.
Yep. RuPaul's Drag Race Antarctica. I cannot believe it. It feels like I'm finally getting what I deserve, honestly. I've applied for every single franchise under the Drag Race umbrella. I'm talking 12 seasons in the US, 2 in the UK, 2 in Canada. I've even applied for Drag Race Netherlands and Drag Race Spain, all to no avail. But as they say in the Castilian countryside, no pasa nada. Because once RuPaul's fracking efforts in Antarctica came to a catastrophic end, she decided to use the leftover land that wasn't used for oil to build the first ever TV studio out in Antarctica. And that's where we filmed. And by that point, casting pulled my name off of their blacklist since they couldn't find any other drag queen who wanted to stay in isolation away from civilization in Antarctica, except for me. So go figure, right? But yeah, I'm ready to snatch that crown, yes, God.
Well, you know, Lorelai, there's really some eye-popping drag personalities on the cast. Let me go down the list a little bit, if you don't mind, for the people out there who don't know.
No, please.
First of all, it starts with Glacira, and then Icy Haute, spelled H-A-U-T-E. Flip Wilson's corpse as Geraldine, a dude wearing a mop for a wig, a kindergarten teacher who occasionally dresses like a clown, Mimi, I'm for smelly old hip pads, and a few climate scientists from Argentina. How do you make yourself seen and heard in a power-packed cast like that?
I know, and we've got a full array, you know? We've got some alternative queens, we have pageant queens in there, and I will tell you, it is definitely hard to stand out against these huge personalities, because the truth is, I'm super shy and demure and very quiet and non-confrontational, and so I really had to work hard to turn up the drama on my season, you know, turn up the heat, let the others melt away into the background. But as RuPaul says, it's all about charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Charisma. I've got it. I mean, listen to me talk. Nerve. I had the nerve to start a virtual dating business and now owe the IRS a lot of money. Talent. I can say that ABC's backwards, baby. ZYX. Wait, hold on. ZYXWT. You know what? Forget that. But uniqueness, I'm the only one with the mustache. So.
That's true. You are the biggest cunt I know, Lorelai.
Excuse me?
I mean, the acronym, C-U-N-T, cunt. You didn't know that it spells cunt?
You know, I'm not really liking your tone right now, Disasterina.
It's like NASA, right? N-A-S-A. You spell it out and it's NASA. It's not N-A-S-A. So it's not C-U-N-T, it's cunt.
Well, guess what? I think you're being an asshole. That's what I think you're being.
Okay. Sorry about that. Let's move on. I don't want to get you, you know, upset here. I know because of the fisticuffs you got into with Glacira, you're probably still really mad about that whole thing, the way it went down. So I'm just going to go on here. Now, let's talk a little bit about the challenges. Was it difficult to get a drag family resemblance during the Emperor Penguin Makeover Challenge?
Disasterini, I know that you are a Drag Race super fan, but how did you know about the Emperor Penguins? That must have been in a press release that I didn't see or something. But I'll tell you, the hardest part of the challenge was actually taming a wild emperor penguin. And that took me basically the whole episode up until we had to step foot on the runway. But once we did, honey, that emperor penguin turned into an empress penguin, okay? Fun fact, Some penguins actually engage in homosexual behavior, including having same-sex partners, limp wrists, listening to Lady Gaga. And so asking my emperor penguin to try on some stilettos and lashes was not a big ask. And I'll save it for you to watch on the show, but let's just say that we slayed, okay?
Wow. I mean, I've seen some pictures and everything. I know the show hasn't been released yet, but you and that penguin look like you're two peas in a pod. You know, you two look like you're codependents.
I feel like you're bringing it back to my online dating again, and that I'm just going to have to put a pause on.
Oh, sorry, sir. Okay, let's move on. Sorry, let's move on. Okay. So I hear you had to have a couple toes amputated after the cold feet mini challenge. What's all that about?
Okay, now I feel like you're trying to give my whole character arc away. I'd like to leave some of my plot line to actually be revealed on the show. But since you brought it up, regardless of my permission, yes, I do have a limited number of toes left. They're actually not as essential as you would think. Now I'm able to wear really dramatic toe rings for my drag. And I've gone down a size in women's shoes, which is any drag queen's dream come true. Am I right, ladies? Where are my Bigfoot queens at? You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I can't really relate to that anymore. But keep an eye out for my line of toe jewelry coming out soon after the premiere, okay? Because I'm telling you, it's some fierce jewels.
I am going to line right up. I'm going to just cut into line. I'm going to get in there first and get those toe rings for sure. Every season of Drag Race, of course, you know, they go through the whole Snatch Game thing. So I am very excited to see you compete in the very popular Drag Race segment, Snatch Game, which is now called Muff Game. Get it? It's like a hand muff you wear in the winter, you know, instead of Snatch. But it's still a pussy. Get it? Muff Game. Not Snatch Game.
I mean, I get it. I was there on the show. So I assume you're talking to your audience when you say that.
That's right. The audience is notoriously stupid for my podcast.
Oh, trust me. I know.
So you probably can't go into great detail about the Muff Game, but I don't know. I'm just looking forward to it because I know you're great with characters and everything.
You know, just for you, Disasterini, I will reveal my Snatch Game character. I actually do the entire Donner Party all in one Muff Game. It's a lot of wig changing, a lot of puppets. I bring in a human leg at one point that I just start chomping down on. I don't want to give it all away, but let's just say it's a lot of fun.
I am just champing at the bit here, champing at the sleigh bit or whatever they have. I'm champing at the husky reins, something like that.
I assume that's also an allusion to our first photo shoot challenge where we have to pose on the back of a dog sled while being pulled through the Arctic Circle. That was really challenging at first, but once you got your footing, it was pretty fierce.
We mean the Antarctic Circle, okay? So Arctic is like polar bears and stuff. This is Antarctic. It's even more desolate and ridiculous and weird, okay? So write it down, people.
It is true. It is true. I have to remind myself of that because after being in the cold for so long, I'm starting to get a little delusional.
I understand. Exactly. You know, just people died out there from the desolation of everything, you know?
Absolutely.
Speaking of desolation, it reminds me, was there some bad blood between you and Glacira when she was chosen as lead instead of you for Scott of the Antarctic, the Unauthorized Rusical?
Glacira and I have a lot in common, but also nothing in common. And when we were in Untucked together, let's just say a couple of hands were thrown. Of course, it was all padded with some mittens that were provided with by production, but at the end of the day, Glacira is my sister. I can't get enough of her. She's a fierce queen, and I wish nothing but the best for her.
I cannot wait for that Twitter drama between you two. That's all I have to say. It's going to be hot. No pun intended.
Or freezing cold.
Both.
A little bit of both. Icy hot. But that's just another queen.
Yeah, let's not talk about her. Fuck her.
Yeah, well, she died on set.
But I didn't want to say that because, you know, I don't want to allude too much to what happened on the show. But, yeah, she did actually die in a very spectacular way. She fell in between, like, two big glacier cracks or something like that. It's, like, 12,000 feet down into Vostok Lake. Is that the name of the lake? It's, like, the biggest lake in Antarctica. It's, like, subglacial or something. Look it up, people.
Yeah, what we did is we just edited RuPaul's laugh over it so people think it's all a joke. But she doesn't return.
I know, Lorela, you had to spend many months down there in the freezing cold, pitch black daytime of Antarctica. There's not a lot to do down there, but there must have been some pretty hot nightclubs down in McMurdo Base.
Well, just like every other Drag Race franchise, all the contestants were isolated and we weren't allowed to leave our rooms on McMurdo Base, but spoiler alert ahead for anyone who wants to watch the series. We actually had a queen, Glacira, and this is why actually we got into our fight. We had a queen eliminated for breaking isolation and using her time off to go clubbing around the Antarctic Circle. I'm talking hot spots or cold spots, I should say, like the Frozen Saddle, Tiger Freeze, 340 Below. All these places, despite being very popular, had very stiff crowds because it was freezing cold. But after returning back to set, she was able to go through the competition a little bit, but not before the producers realized that she had gone and they gave her the snow boot off the competition.
The stuff behind the scenes that I'm really interested in, that's the most interesting thing to me to all these like Drag Race things, that what's going on behind the scenes. And you just had a mouthful right there. A mouthful of evil icicles.
Yep.
In the McMurdo base.
I've had a lot in my mouth before, and that was definitely a mouthful.
Well, Lorelai, we can't wait to see you slay this season, or should I say, in a slay this season. But unfortunately, I'll be watching Drag Race Marianas Trench first, which is broadcasting concurrently, so sorry about that, but good luck.
Thank you, and if you have WoW Presents Plus, make sure you tune in.
Go follow Lorelai on Instagram and Twitter at YESLORELEI. Yes, I know it's spelled really weird. I don't know why she did it that way. And now, Trash Poetry. Starring Los Angeles creative alien, Dusk. Follow Dusk on Instagram at DVVSK_. And now for the Tasty Earbits podcast, fashion correspondent and failed Project Runway applicant, Monica! Monica, thank you so much for being the Tasty Earbits fashion correspondent and expert!
Anytime! Thank you for having me. Tasty Earbits are so in this season.
They're so delectable. 2020 was such a tough year for fashion, but I feel like 2021 going to be a statement year. What do you think?
I think it was a good year for depression. Oh, fashion. I mean, no more depression in 2021. You know what? It's vaccine season, and I think things are hopefully going to look up. Vaccine chic. It's like heroin chic. It still comes from a needle. It's great. Models love it.
Vaccine chic. Now, what's the look for vaccine chic?
Ooh, a Band-Aid with a little cotton ball underneath it.
How about like a little bikini made out of Band-Aids? What do you think?
A little bikini made out of Band-Aids and masks? We're going to have to recycle all our masks when we aren't wearing them anymore.
Well, talking about masks, what will the new mask fashion be like in 2021?
I'm going to say just nudity. Nudity and a mask on. It really emphasizes the mask and how important it is. And if you're a little self-conscious, you can make a little thong out of a mask too. What you said sounds lovely.
It sounds like a horror show, honestly.
Well, you know a lot about horror shows.
And I'm not body shaming, okay? You know, we're just out of shape. That's what I'm trying to say.
That is my gay body dysmorphic opinion. I shouldn't be so hard on myself, but you and I know a lot about horror shows, so we might just be willing to look the part.
That's true. We are expert on horror shows, except we're not really professional because we never got paid. Still waiting for that royalty check, Boulay Brothers.
Pay her!
Come on. Monica, is pandemic body positivity a new trend in 2021?
It is. It sure is. Because I know I'm never going to shame anyone if they have a little bit of pudge from COVID. I expect them to. What were you, just happy and fit without going to the gym all year? No.
That, you know, raises the question, is there some sort of new gym fashion?
Outside. Outside is in this season for working out.
That's right. I've been driving by the exercise places and everybody's outside on their recombinant bicycles. Is that what they're called?
Tandem?
I don't know. They're like on their stationary bikes outside. Isn't that a name for them? They're like a fancy name for it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I'm bent for cum. Off topic. You should Google bike smut sometime. You find some great videos.
Monica, what do you think of the new Christian Siriano loungewear line, which is infused with disinfectant?
I think that sounds ridiculous. You know, we've all been doing this since March. We've been disinfecting everything. And you know what happens 5 minutes later? It gets sticky. I don't want my whole body to be sticky. I wash my hands so much because when I do the alcohol, you know what's not in is the sticky little boogers that happen.
Sticky boogers and the alcohol? You're turning me on.
Sticky boogers and alcohol. It's like being a precinct.
Wait a minute, isn't that like a Don Ho song? Sticky boogers in the whatever.
In my whatever.
I've heard about your whatever. I don't know if I want to go there.
What I read is that he was shut down when COVID happened. That's so not in this season. He was outsourcing his employees to make masks from their homes, which is great. Make designer masks from your home, sell them under your name. That sounds great. And then he was able to reopen his business as a necessity business. Furthermore, this whole thing about the clothes that are supposed to disinfect you came later than that, which I think is still a little bit ridiculous. But yay, ridiculous is in this season.
If ridiculous will stave off the disease, I'm okay with it. Well, I'm always okay with ridiculous, though. But I think people out there will be okay with ridiculous, too, as long as they're safe.
Very true, because fashion has definitely been ridiculous before.
I have a feeling that it will continue to be ridiculous into the future, long into the future. Here's another question for you, expert of fashion. What's the best thing to wear for 2021 when you're 6 feet away from somebody?
A condom! Oh, 6 feet. I thought you said 6 inches!
No, Monica, you're being silly again. 6 feet.
I am. Definitely still wear your masks. That's the most important thing. Wear your masks, even if you've been vaccinated, because you know what? Death is not in this season, and we've had plenty of it, and we don't need more.
Oh, that's really a good thing to think about. You know, we've had so much death this year. It's just been a little too much. You know, they are stacking up like cordwood outside of the hospitals in these refrigerated trucks. Please, no more of that.
No more! And the other thing I was going to say is, not only is it important to wear your mask when you're 6 feet away, But I've been seeing some cute t-shirts with mask-related jokes on them or Black Lives Matter t-shirts. We should be still wearing those too. Masks and Black Lives Matter t-shirts 2021. Right there. Boom, baby.
Let's go on to a different part of fashion for this whole weird time that we live in, huh? What are the hottest COVID accessories?
Alcohol goop, hand sanitizers in this season. I carry mine on a carabiner everywhere. Carabiners, they're in this season. Oh, headphones. You know why?
Why?
Because you're going to be alone everywhere you go. You got to have something to listen to. A good podcast. Oh, speaking of podcasts.
Ding, 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 ding.
Tasty earbud.
And that leads me right to my last question. Did I see you in a Jaguar?
With all of the accessories. And one of those accessories was you.
Thank you so much, Monica.
Thank you for having me. Tasty earbuds in this season, everybody.
Go follow Felony Dodger as Monica on Instagram. FelonyDodger. Nana the Cat Lady with Let Me Sit on You Again.
He was the most perfect toilet I ever seen. He washed my bottom with warm water and dried it with warm air, heating my seat on the cold days. And sounds with the sound effects. He was too good to me. His name was Toto, the Japanese shower toilet. I probably will never ever be able to sit on him again. And this is what I get in the US. Dirty toilet seat, seat covers that I never get. Put it up or down, how many covers wasted? One colder night, don't be so cold to me. You just freeze my ass. How do I pee without bottom dryer? How do I poo without MS washer? Japanese toilet, I can't live without you. His name's a Toto. Always too far to reach, always too dry to wipe. Can I fart? I hope nobody listens. Shit, I was louder than I thought. How do I pee without bottom dryer? How do I poo without MS washer?
Enough for me. see the music video for this song on Nana's YouTube channel and download it on iTunes after February 12th. Follow Nana the Cat Lady on Instagram, NANA underscore the Cat Lady. Meow! And now, a word from our sponsor.
From Out TV.
Do you need release?
Buckle up, baby girl. The fun's about to begin. Yeah!
This here is Crazy Town, and you're the mayor of it.
Why does the party always end up in the kitchen?
I'm here to probe your black hole.
Eat your heart out, bitch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's get some drama.
I had my heart set on a pizza, though.
Fresh as fuck.
Brace yourself.
What is this thing?
It's a body up in here.
Don't be sorry. Be better.
I'm still the baddest demon around.
I'm a sexy yin-yang, motherfucker.
Feels like the real thing.
Then waking me the fuck out.
Let's fry this bitch.
Let the fisting begin!
Sato, psychiatrist!
Now on Amazon Prime Video, only $2 each high-def episode.
And also available on the Out TV Apple TV channel.
Starring Bitch Puddin', Sean Forrester, Foxy Ajue, Ave Rose, Clit Eatswood, and Disasterina as Dr. Sato.
Winter doldrums. When will we see the sun again? When will we see the sun again?
Tito, congratulations for being selected to compete in the Drag Queen of the Year competition.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
First of all, you are kind of different from a lot of other drag performers out there. Do you even consider yourself a drag queen?
No, definitely not. I don't feel like I'm a drag queen. I don't know. The whole terminology behind drag, I've always never really found the right thing for me. The first couple of years, I just called myself a drag performer, a drag entertainer. Whenever people would call me Bio King, it would make me cringe. And it made me feel like if it's making you cringe, then it's probably not fitting for you.
Bio King.
People used to, I think a lot of people still use that term, bio queen. But I definitely don't use that term because I feel like female drag queens are just drag queens, period.
Right. Who cares about bio?
Right. People are like paying attention to how much you're transforming from one gender to the other, which is so funny to me because I just feel like we're so past that in drag now.
For me, it's all about the transformation.
Right. I think like there's just so much room for characters in drag that I don't like. I want to see what is the vision of you to the fullest. What is the thing that makes you the most excited about drag? Seeing you do it and do it to the teeth, you know, do it like all the way. I just feel like people that are so focused on like transforming into a different gender in drag, I think there's more to drag than that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, but you're right. I agree. Yeah. For me, for it to be interesting, there needs to be something more than that, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are many female illusionists out there and male illusionists who are excellent, but I do like a little special something.
Yeah, totally.
So how would you describe your drag?
Well, I actually, coming from this whole issue with like what I label myself, I started calling myself a drag prince because I felt like that's it not only speaks to me as a performer. I feel like I kind of have a tendency to like royal looking things and wearing them. I'm also very inspired by rock gods, like like Freddie Mercury and Elton John, who also had a flair for the royalness of it all. So when that kind of like idea came to me, I was just like, okay, this fits the most. I feel like it's like silly to some people that like don't know.
The term drag prince, I think it will gain a lot of interest because that's a perfect description of what you do. Drag prince. And there's going to be others, I think, who's going to follow in your footsteps. How else could you describe you? It's just, once I heard that, I was like, perfect.
Thank you. Yeah, whenever I say that, it's like a little silly to people that haven't heard it before. But I just feel like there's not a lot of male entertainers out there, period. So it's just like a new thing, I think, for people. I'm used to having to kind of like show people what I do and like have them understand what I'm doing afterwards, after they see me, you know.
And they're blown away and they're like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this competition a little bit. What are your expectations here? There's 8 performers and it's a virtual pageant.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect?
I'm expecting it to be crazy. I think it's going to be really incredible. I am like to the moon, like honored to just be like alongside this cast of like, everybody's just so good. So many people from this cast, like I've been admiring and worshiping for so long, that to be like in the same lineup as them, that is just like an honor to me.
Let me read them off here just so that people out there know. There's 8 drag performers. Maureen San Diego, Chiquitita, Lucy Stuhl, Cassandra Complex, Tenderoni, Dixie Sherwood, and Jake Dupree.
Yeah.
So that is a very interesting lineup, a very diverse. And that's why I like this competition a lot. It seems like there's a great diversity to it. And all these people are very accomplished. So it's going to be quite an interesting competition. Are you very competitive?
I think like I have been in my past, and I no longer feel as competitive as I've been in my past. I've competed for big things before that aren't drag related. And I come from being like an ultra nerd in high school. I feel like my like college days were more competitive, particularly when I was in college studying for architecture, and they kind of like pit you against other people and stuff. But as time has gone by, I felt way, way less competitive with like my peers and other drag people, particularly because I think I'm kind of carving out my own path, and I haven't seen a lot of people around me, definitely in other states, in other areas of the country. There is definitely more male entertainers. It's just that I didn't have that kind of experience to look at within my own scene. So I always had to remind myself that I'm creating my own kind of path here, and that like I can't really compare one with the other necessarily towards certain things. So for me, it's like I'm just very competitive with like, I guess, myself, in a way that like I always try to outdo myself when it comes to big performances.
So your biggest competition is yourself in this competition.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, you're just kind of like, okay, I gotta, like, if I did that, I have to go harder for this now.
Well, how do you prepare for this? I mean, I don't really know the workings of this competition or this pageant. I've never done a pageant, so I don't know what's involved. And also, I wasn't at the last one that they had, when the Abora one. I wasn't there in the theater. And that one was done live. That must have been super scary.
Yeah, I was there, actually.
Oh, you were there.
I was there backstage because I was helping out Astrid, who is also doing the competition, who is a dear friend of mine and I love very much. Winner of Dragula World.
Astrid Aurelia, we love you so much.
Yes, we love you. But yeah, I was in her number and I saw everything, and they had a leopard print entry, and then they had the evening wear sort of entry, and then they had the performance look. And then I believe that there's a question and answer as well. So there's like several different elements to it. But yeah, I'm very excited. I feel like I've been preparing for this particular moment my whole life, at least like my drag career.
I'm going to have super high expectations. When I'm watching this, I'm going to be like, you better step it up, Tito. Not that they weren't, but, you know, now you're going to have to go crazy. I think everybody in this competition has got to have the same notion, which is that, you know, we were good before, but we have to elevate big time here in order to be the top of the pile. I read a little about the competition online, and so the contestants were chosen by a mysterious panel of androgynous, not androgynous, chosen by a mysterious panel of anonymous drag elders. Now, who did you have to blow to get onto the cast?
No one, actually, no one. So,
well, I know you're not rich, so you must have gotten on through your talent.
I must have, huh? I was so gagged when I got the email saying that. What's really like interesting about this whole experience is that like I've known this since last March.
Oh, That's right. It was canceled because of the whole COVID thing.
Yeah, because of COVID, it was going to be postponed. So it gets postponed to September, literally the night of my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I am like in August, kind of like freaking out about like, holy shit, I have to get all this shit done. And we still don't know if the pageant's still happening or not.
Was the cast revealed at that time?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It was still hush hush. Because after the second postponement, I was like so sad and depressed over just like COVID in general. And then on top of that, like this thing kept getting postponed.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to like divert my energies towards that right now. And then all of a sudden, right as the new year happened, it was like, oh, it's back on and it's on March. It's like, fuck.
I can't wait to see this. I think it's going to be really interesting. And I know Alaska is a super good host.
I love her. She's...
And the other host, was Lola Lacroix also the host for the last one?
I think Lola was mostly producing. I don't remember particularly seeing her on stage, but more like managing the whole entire event.
Ah, okay.
I think Alaska's the main host. But yeah, I saw that like team happen last year and they were so incredible. The whole production was so incredible for Abora's win. It was a really incredible pageant. But I in no way was even thinking that I could be a part of it back then. But then later on, my friend Hollow actually encouraged me to apply. And they were like, you're a perfect fit for this. So you should do it. And I did it and I got it and I'm still gagged, but I'm here to bring it.
Everybody out there cannot wait. Anybody who's ever met you knows that you're wonderful and spectacular and adorable and bold and energetic and super cool. And I'm running out of adjectives. but we love you, Tito, and very good luck. Though you don't need it for the competition. I'm sure you will do really, really good. Do you have any words to your fans out there?
Stay tuned, I guess. No, I've gotten so much love and support from this whole announcement that it's been overwhelming for me. Just like seeing my community kind of like be so excited for me and stuff. It's been really humbling and really touching. So thank you all so much for everything and for giving me love and support throughout this whole thing, because it's definitely not easy.
See the Drag Queen of the Year pageant competition hosted by Alaska and Lola Lacroix Sunday, March 7 on sessionslive.com. Follow Tito Soto on Instagram at tito.so.to. Uh-oh. Okay, tasty people, make sure you have your headphones on, because Chicago genderqueer drag alien Luke Ami about to bring you some alien acid ASMR. Dive into the tasty sound.
Arrived at the beach. follow Luke Ami on Instagram at luc.ami. And now, the deliciously devious
and the enthrallingly enigmatic Yovska!
Hi everyone, it's me, Disasterina! Wait, was I not supposed to say that?
No, that's okay. Somebody's already called me Disasterini in another interview.
Oh, Disasterini, that's like some Italian pasta, right?
You know, you're getting me hungry.
Oh my god.
It's like even thinner than Angel here. It's even thinner than me after a week of nothing but 8 balls and a donut.
Oh, is that your secret to keeping skinny?
If it's Disasterini, better be skinny. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. How are you doing? Oh my goodness, it's been a while since I took a visit down to LA.
Yeah, I know. We had so much fun when you were down here. We're doing better than we thought. Luckily, my stepdaughter and her husband are big tech people. They actually have jobs and are making money right now, as opposed to all us drag performers out there who are getting $0. So they're able to help us out with rent and expenses and stuff. So, I just want this vaccine to get everywhere so everybody can get back to business.
I know. I was like considering going back to the Hollow Earth. Honestly, it's too much right now.
That's right. Did you escape from there after 20,000 years?
I mean, I did escape, and I feel like if I go back, I might be imprisoned again, but...
It's almost worth the risk at this point.
It might be worth the risk, honestly, considering. Well, you know, we'll see how 2021 plays out. We'll see.
This first week is a little rough of the 2021, but...
We're off to a surprising start.
It's a surprising and horrifying start. Well, Yovska, the reason I have contacted you is because you're an expert on cryptids, and there's been something happening this year. Let me give you one example. The Jersey Devil has been spotted stealing bags of Takis at several gas stations near Trenton, New Jersey. What do you think of this?
Were they by any chance wearing a beret?
Let's see. I don't know.
Because if so, that might have been me, but...
Really?
I'm always grabbing Takis, so... Okay, then it was definitely probably me then.
But you know, your beautiful drag creations, they are very inspired by the cryptids, are they not?
Yes, of course. You know, I guess some could say they're almost like a metaphor for... I guess the queer and immigrant experience.
How do you mean?
Well, I guess in the same way that LGBT identities, you know, queer identities are always demonized, correct? And it's that same way, perhaps a manifestation of all of those things, right?
Mm.
A manifestation of all of those dark discrimination and things like that.
Misunderstood.
Yeah, misunderstood.
So maybe these cryptids that are servicing in the early year here, maybe they're just reaching out for some sort of recognition, some sort of understanding.
Yeah, perhaps we're manifesting them with all this negative energy people are putting out there, right?
Oh my God, there's so much negative energy right now. It's just like a swirling vortex of conspiracy insanity. I don't know if it's going like that in Canada, but in the US of A is just completely bonkers. It's been bonkers for a long time, but it's a special kind of bonkers here. It's just so weird what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, here in Canada, you know, we're here in our igloos, you know, eating maple syrup, not going outside. But yeah, it seems a lot more chaotic over there for sure. I'm kind of glad not to be there right now. But wishing the best for all of you from far away.
A lot of people that we know from LA are moving to other places because they can't afford it, because there's no work and stuff like that.
Oh my goodness.
But I wouldn't be surprised if many people are leaving the country because it's just getting too crazy. It's just completely insane. And if I had a lot of money, I might... just go somewhere for a few months. I might I'm going to go down to New Zealand or something for 6 months and just sort of be in a little hidey hole.
New Zealand? Don't they have hobbit houses there?
They do. Yes, they do have plenty of hobbit houses because they shot some hobbit films down there.
Are you going to live in a hobbit house?
I mean, I'd have to bend over a lot. But they look nice.
I mean, you already do a lot of bending over.
I am sort of a lurchy. I'm a little lurchy sometimes.
You know, always showing that ass, full bent over.
There you go. Mm-mm-mm. So let's get back to the cryptids a little bit. So what kind of creatures do you try to emulate? Do they possess you or do you possess them?
It's more so coming from the hollow earth. I have all this knowledge of different entities whose shapes I can take, correct? So it's really just me masquerading as these different creatures, just depending on what I feel like. Perhaps your worst fear, or perhaps your secret sexual desire.
You know, I go to your Instagram a lot, and I look at all your beautiful creations, and they are just so fanciful and scary and wonderful and colorful. Everything's like all handmade, and it's just very alien. I mean, that word gets used a lot, but I don't know how else to use it when I look at your stuff, because it's just, you know, you don't ever see anything like that. And one of the things I noticed, a really cool one, was the Aztec god of death, the Mictlantecuhtli. How do you say it?
You know what? I'm actually not quite sure. I think it's Mictlantecuhtli, but I might be entirely wrong, babes. Actually, you know what? I don't even want to say it. I'm probably butchering it right now.
Okay. Well, you know.
I'm going to anger some gods.
Yeah, but there's no Aztecs these days. There's descendants of Aztecs, but there's no Aztecs. They couldn't get that man.
I don't know. I think there might still be groups, you know, I guess Aztec descendants or, you know, things like that. So, you know, I'm not too sure. I don't want to get too into that realm in case I mess anything up.
You know, we did a interview before on the My Drag is Valid, my little YouTube show, but I can't do that anymore because people get diseases.
Oh, not bad.
But you talked about your creations a little bit there. But this is a whole new thing, and you have so many new outfits that you have done since we got together last, and they're so beautiful. Let me talk a little bit about maybe a couple of them.
Yeah, for sure.
What is this one where you are in this red polka dot outfit, and you have a clown cage on your head, and you have a big long tail?
Oh, that one. You know, that's me coming out of a little, like, music box. And I come out and I'm like this clown, but also this ancient entity. And I've been released from the box. That's really when I was released from the box that I was hiding in the hollow earth. Oh. And I was transported to the earth. And that little clown I was using for energy, I trapped it there. You know, I was just sucking its energy through that cage. You know, just hot girl things.
Did you actually have the tail to it? I mean, does it have that big long tail?
The tail might have been a figment of people's imagination.
Implied.
But, you know, the top half was very real for sure.
I always love the ones where you go and do the really sharp teeth. Well, it seems like you have really sharp teeth and everything, but you're a drag performer and you have beautiful makeup on, but sometimes you have a mask that goes over your entire face or partially over your face and just like eye holes left open and stuff. And there's this one called the plush goblin. Could you describe that one?
Oh, yeah. That's like a nice little, like a cute little getup I did for when I started doing Twitch streams. Because in Twitch streams, I found out you only have to clothe up the upper half of your body because that's the only thing that the camera sees. So, yeah, that was more of like a quick top half transformation. You know, I was a little goblin, possibly hiding in your attic. But, you know, kind of soft a little bit with the little pink, you know, tones around its body.
We're both drag performers. We both have the challenges during the pandemic and everything. It's not so easy to create right now. What are the main challenges you are having to creating right now?
I think some of the challenges I'm having right now, maybe like some of them are kind of like the motivation. You know, sometimes you do feel motivated to mix in, but other days you're just like, I'm not really feeling the motivation right now, you know, trying to get yourself back into the working space. Because even though like you are at home, you know, and I guess you could be doing productivity, it's kind of hard sometimes to get yourself into that realm, right? And sometimes you end up forcing yourself and it does not happen.
With me, it's sort of like, it's probably the same way with other people, but you know, you get dressed to the nines and then you're all dressed up and nowhere to go. You know, you're not going anywhere, or if you do end up going somewhere, you can't touch anyone. You have to be 6 feet away and you can't do your face makeup because you got a big mask on your face. So it really is a buzzkill to getting this elaborate stuff together. So that's what I feel. I feel sort of like defeated.
You know what? I think I do agree with that, especially like I think when it comes to, you know, digital drag videos, like those require a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always a big payout. So
you get paid? I never seen a dime for this thing.
Who knew? My goodness.
They've been taking me all this time.
Oh no, Disasterina, not this again. First your body and now your digital drag videos.
Blood, sweat, and tears, and I don't even get nothing out of it.
Disasterina OnlyFans win.
You know, I've been thinking about OnlyFans because, not because I want to show a lot of sexy material or anything, although I do, but it's just that all these like, social medias are getting more strict about sexuality and profanity and like non-family stuff. So I'm like, where's the only place you can be free to really do whatever you want? And I'm thinking, you know, OnlyFans, right? Twitter a little bit, but like OnlyFans you can, or something like that, where people have to pay to go in and look at it and have to register to be an adult or whatever. That seems like a viable thing for me and a lot of other drag performers. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if that's the kind of like your realm of art and you do art, you know, that's maybe not for the younger audiences. I think that's an amazing place to go to. I'm not really familiar too much with this, like that site. I mean, of course, I have heard of it. I think that's It's amazing and stuff. So yeah, that could be a viable option for, you know, like performers whose art is just kind of shut out by Instagram or by like Facebook. It really sucks, a lot of the censoring.
I might have to go and dive in because it's similar to Patreon. I don't know if you have one of those. Patreon. It's like a donation service, but you do get exclusive content because you join up. So it's like, well, people do really want to support. Maybe that's the way to go. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Let me try to get back to this whole cryptid phenomenon that's happening right now. It's been freaking me out. Now, let me give you another little example. The Yeti has been seen many times with large bags of ice in Lahore. Is this because of global warming?
Are you calling me a whore?
Not right now. I have in the past, I will in the future, but no.
Oh, you mean the location. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I think it's in the Far East somewhere.
You see what you want to see, right?
What's your favorite cryptid?
Oh, besides myself, I would say one of my biggest ones right now is Bigfoot. That's a classic, right?
That's old school. That's classic.
Oh, I also really like the Dover Demon.
What's the Dover Demon?
It's basically a few sightings of this creature that kept being reported in the town of Dover in Massachusetts. I guess someone was taking like a hike or something at night and they passed by and they saw like this gremlin sort of creature with huge eyes walking around. And they were like, what is that? Is that a monkey? Or like they didn't know, but it had like large glowing orange eyes and it freaked them out. So they ran the fuck out, right?
This is interesting because I did a little bit of research on this stuff. A lot of these sightings are pretty recent. This is like 1977.
Oh, the 70s had so many sightings of odd and strange creatures, honestly.
Well, Bigfoot was like huge in the 70s.
But also aliens. I mean, aliens aren't technically cryptids, but, you know, the same realm of the supernatural. People were sighting lots of strange kind of alien-like creatures that were claiming to be from other places, right?
In the 70s, wasn't it that whole big thing about like being brought up into the ship and like the cows getting all operated on and everything like that, dissected?
You want to know something really interesting? It's a little bit funny, but it's also a little bit creepy. Kind of makes me paranoid sometimes. Is that I think all of these paranormal creatures, you know, entities, aliens, angels, I think all of them are kind of connected and they might be the same creatures masquerading as different things.
Oh, that's a really compelling idea.
Because if you think about it, a lot of, you know, descriptions of fairies back in medieval ages, oh, like these fairies that are glowing and, you know, floating, coming into the room and taking the children away, or people getting lost in the forest because they saw strange lights. And, you know, a lot of those could be attributed to modern day alien abduction stories.
That's true. Maybe it's that the old school folklore sounded too silly for the modern age, and they decided to, you know, use the term alien, or maybe back in the olden days, it really was the aliens. It could be one of those two.
I think in the 1800s, I think it was before, you know, they had planes or airplanes and any flying machines. people were citing flying airships. Like, you know, ships in the sky with like the rowing thingies and dropping anchors. And people would say that they would approach these beings that would claim to be from Mars or Atlantis or something. But all of those sightings stopped appearing after the introduction of airplanes and flying machines, right? So it always seems to be almost as if they're pairing themselves to just to be a little bit outside of our understanding of science, right?
That's very clever.
It might be a crazy theory, but...
I like crazy theories, though.
I've been reading this one book, Passport to Magnolia, by this French author. I forget his name. Jacques Vallée, I believe. He kind of popularized the idea that, you know, maybe all of these beings are the same. And, you know, maybe they're masquerading as different things. Perhaps Jovska is one of them.
That's true. You could be. Well, I'm looking at your Instagram. You know, I wouldn't be surprised with that theory that every picture on your Instagram is really of you.
Oh, my God. How did you know? The men in black are going to break into my house and take me away. I mean, I could probably just escape again. I mean, it'd be hard for the officers to resist my big, juicy Pikachu bazongas.
They're so voluptuous. They're so va-va-voom.
Honestly, a remake of my vampire look coming up next.
I loved your vampire look from Dragula, by the way.
Oh, that's so funny. That's probably one of my least favorites, but it seems to be popular with a lot of people, I guess. I mean, it was really ridiculous.
Probably most people know your looks from the show more than the ones that you're probably familiar with. You know.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Jovska, we have had a fun little interview here. Thank you so much for being on my funny little podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Your expertise on the cryptids are super valuable. Do you have anything to say about the new year or about your career going forward?
Well, I guess for the new year, I'm really hoping 2021 will be an amazing year for all of the performers and we can get ourselves, you know, out of this COVID rut.
What are your plans for this year?
Well, right now I'm really working on, you know, getting my Twitch up and running. It's been up and running, but now I got a new setup. So we're playing on the PC now. It's really fun. You know, we'll see where that goes. I'm hoping to do more YouTube stuff as well. I haven't been doing a lot of that, but I want to get back to YouTube. It seems fun.
I love your YouTube channel. I think it's really playful and funny. So I hope you do more with that. Well, Jovska, thank you so much for being on my show. I love you. And you are wonderful, and everybody go out there and look at Jovska's everything, their Instagram, their website. Do you have a website?
Not yet, but, you know, if you're hearing this, go visit my Twitch channel, you know, Twitch, / Jovska, you know, see me playing different games. We're doing a lot of Dead by Daylight right now, but, you know, we must be doing some Phasmophobia, Alien Isolation, Among Us, you know, lots of horror games.
I will check it out for sure because I want to see you kick people's ass.
And also, you guys can find me under your bed at 3 a.m. when you turn the lights off and you say my name 3 times.
Ah! Scream sample. Done.
Amazing.
The frigid wind blows through my bones. The frigid wind goes up my petticoat. The frigid wind, its icy reach. When will the flowers bloom again?
Thank you so much to all my contributors. I love you so much. Sassy grunting. Music for the podcast by Dr. Stevo. Go to drstevo.com. drstevo.com. And by Chuck Serino. Go to chuckserino.com. chuckcirino.
www.outtvino.com. If you want to help this podcast out, please, please, please do so. Go to patreon.com/coleslawsonfire, one word, and just drop a few greenbacks for us so we can keep on going. We can buy some, like, 3D old soup or something.